All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? The sun is still shining on the big city.
For now.
Yeah. Don't get your outboard motors, paddles, and other flotation devices just yet. But oh my, is it coming? Because boy, people are freaking out all over the big city. You know who's not freaking out? Nick Sciarra.
There's no water in the city.
Myself. What, bottled water?
Yeah, like everywhere you go, apparently there's like no bottled water.
Like, they're telling people out in Sugar Land that shipments will be arriving throughout the day at the three big grocery chains.
I hope so, because I've got like $5 in my gas tank and maybe three bottles of water.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is getting gas. But
evidently, Kirsten just waited 15 minutes in line for gas at gouging prices because people never feel sympathy when there's a chance for greed.
That's just, yeah. Those people can go to hell.
I
wouldn't. I'd rather run out of gas than buy your stupid gas if you're jacking up the prices, you a-hole.
And of course, the dilemma of all dilemmas becomes intern Trey, who says he has 64 miles left on his tank of gas. Now, after hearing Kirsten's dilemma, is panicking on whether he will be able to get to Baytown and then also find gas before the storm hits.
Well, just go sit in line.
He does not want to do this.
Well, then run out of gas. Who cares? You pick one. You sit in line or you run out of gas. It's real cut and dry. There's no other options here, Trey.
He's factored in that from here to his home, it's 38 miles. I said, but what happens if you get stuck in traffic? I did it. Oh no. So Trey's got some things on his mind.
So are you freaking out?
Not at all.
I am.
But I'm ticked off.
Are you?
I'll say this. Because I've been through it before and lost the whole first floor of a house, I have concerns, but that was in Midtown. Now I'm out in the burbs more where I shouldn't be worried about it, but oh, that's the first thing that crosses my mind.
Don't sleep on the burbs flooding.
Well, now, the Memorial Day flood recently, what was that, a year or two ago?
A couple years, yeah.
Yeah. We were fine.
Okay.
And that was pretty severe. So I'm thinking, as long as...
That was 11 or 12 inches of rain.
Yeah.
The we got.
Right.
So double that.
It's still only coming halfway up my front lawn.
Okay.
I think.
Then you're good.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to be okay.
Mine was halfway up our backyard on the Memorial Day flood.
Yeah.
And that's when I purchased flood insurance 2 years ago. So thank goodness I have flood insurance. By the way, if you're thinking about flood insurance for the weekend, it's too late. There's a 30-day wait period once you buy it. You should always buy before, you know, hurricane season. But I'm freaking out because I've never had a house flood, and I have a feeling that it's going to happen this time.
It is not fun, brother. And let me tell you this. The other thing that people need to take into consideration besides their house.
Their cars.
Their garage.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you have anything on the floor of your garage, you better start working now to get it off.
Now, how did you have flood insurance when it happened?
I did not.
Oh.
But I had storm damage, and all the water came in off of an elevated window on the first floor, and it was blown in with the weather and the wind.
So you weren't home or what?
So they sent out an adjuster and said,
"Were you home? Like to patch the window?"
I got out of Dodge. No, it was the window was shut, but the force of the wind was so great that it pushed the window in, and the water all came in through there.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
All right, it was not a fun time. And then they actually sent an adjuster out, and they were like, yeah, we see it, but we don't think that. And I'm like, of course you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a back and forth, but didn't. No, it was on me.
So you had to pay for it all?
I had to pay for it all.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
I was more than that. Yep.
Oh, no. Let them try not to give me anything with this flood insurance that I have. Oh, no,
man,
sir.
I was. But subsequently, I got flood insurance and have had it ever since. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, in this city, if you live on the Gulf Coast in a town like New Orleans or Houston or something like that, you're dumb if you don't have flood insurance. Like this, and I've never had flood insurance until 2 years ago. And I was dumb. But I'm like, man, as much as this whole place floods, is prone to flooding with hurricanes and everything else, man, forget that.
I'll tell you who I feel for.
24 inches of rain is what I'm seeing.
I told you this yesterday. And I'll tell you who I feel for. The people over there, what is it, Nick? Bel Air Way? They flood every time.
Mm. Bel Air?
Yeah, over off of the off of Braeswood.
Oh, yeah, that's a big. Meyerland. Oh,
Meyerland.
That's a huge
Meyerland,
flood area.
As Bel Air goes into Meyerland, every single time it even rains hard, those people lose their house.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
It's crazy because there's a lot of these people, and I think that's the reason why some people are without. I mean, obviously, a lot of it has to do with economics, and they don't have flood insurance because they simply can't afford it. But a lot of people believe, despite all these floods and storms and hurricanes that we've been through, there's a lot of people that just didn't get affected that bad from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they don't see the reality of water running through their house. They don't see them losing things right in front of their eyes. So until that happens, I feel like that's what
I'll tell you the most devastating thing with the lady on the news that lives in Meyerland that said after she went through it for the second time and they're bracing for it again, she said, it literally changed my life to the point where the way I think, the way I feel, and everything about my life has a totally different, just conceptually and also feeling and everything. She goes, my life is completely different because of it, and it's changed, and it'll never be the same. That's trauma.
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, I haven't had to go through it, thank goodness, but I have that weird feeling. Of course, I have like panic attacks when stuff like this happens. Like I'll be up all night for the next five nights. Once it starts raining, I won't be able to sleep. I'll just be watching the waters rise, freaking out.
Pull the cocoa out.
Yeah, well, I might have to do a little drinking just to get through it. Because for some reason I'll get anxiety and
I was gonna say, you know,
my wife, no, nothing. Just
whatever. You got pulled over and we were talking about getting pulled over and you know that anxiety you feel when the cop's behind you. Can you imagine that has to be like times 100 when these people see hard rain coming down?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, Nathan said the tax day floods was 10 plus inches in less than 24 hours. This will be 20 over 3 days. Just pray that it drains quickly. So that's okay.
Here's the biggest thing that you can have some solace in is the fact that it's supposed to be spread out. So now instead of starting Friday, it's not supposed to really start hitting till Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll come in doses. So you'll get 4 to 8, and then there should be a break because it's going in like a cycle.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll give it time to drain before you get another.
See, like my heart is pumping right now just thinking about my.
Really?
Oh, God.
Pump it.
I'm not freaking out, but I feel like I should.
Redhead Kingpin?
Yeah.
Nick's gonna play a little Pump It Hottie for you.
Where was it? Where'd it go? Oh, Lamont said Joel don't sleep on the burbs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I still have flood insurance.
His home was destroyed with Ike.
Yep. I'm telling you, man.
By the way, I owe you an apology. Yesterday we were talking and you said something about Allison and I was like, no, that was a long time ago. I was thinking Alicia.
Oh,
Alicia
was 83.
Yeah, Alicia was like 83, 84 when you said Allison. I was thinking Alicia. But yeah, Allison was 2001. All this just, man.
Dude, I'll tell you
I want to move to Denver.
The one that got my first floor, I was actually out with my boys and we were in, uptown getting ready to go downtown and they were all like, the rain was really coming down hard and they're like, no, we're going to go anyway. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go home. So I took I-10 at I-10 in Washington. It kind of goes like a soup bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first car that they stopped as the water kept coming.
Yeah.
And at one point, there were cops walking around. And I stopped the guy and I said, if we don't turn around, we're all going to be like floating. And I had a new car, a newer car, a new Tahoe. And he thought about it for a while and they ended up breaking down the side gate for the HOV and turned us around going the wrong way on I-10. And I was able to go I-10 to 610 out to 290 where my girlfriend at the time was staying. And I stayed there for like 3 days. And when I came home, I got to my garage door, and the line across all the way across my garage was about 3 feet high, and my stomach just dropped because I knew that meant the whole first floor was just done.
I know. Oh.
It is. That is the worst feeling, man.
It's going to be fun. Oh, boy.
Oh, the fun.
Gotta love living
fine.
In Houston.
Just dig a big trench.
And usually I'm the kind of guy that when this happens, I'm like, the weather people always get it wrong. Everyone's freaking out for nothing. But I don't feel like that's the case this time.
There's a lot of people that are saying that right now, especially some people here in this
The guy that writes place. For the weather for Houston sports and stuff, he Fred's nailed guy. It last time that they were like, it's going to flood. He was like, I don't think so. And he's like, it's going to flood. So guys that aren't normally panicky about the weather are a little bit on edge. That's what has me nervous.
Yeah, because
you know what? Freak out,
but
man!
But I told you, there were times that they shut down schools for the following day. Yeah, did all these things, and it sprinkled. And then there was a couple where I was like, oh, this isn't going to happen again. And I sat through them.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, what you just described is what you think you're going to do. I did. And that is the most frightening thing in the world when you think the windows are coming in on you and you can hear it howling down your chimney.
Oh, yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you know what? Lamont makes a great point. Why is it that River Oaks never floods and we don't hear about it? Or Memorial?
Why do you think?
Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe those flood plans have been... Interesting. All right, so we got a busy show for you today, but if you want to join it, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. This is where intelligent people come for radio. I just want to explain that to people, because if you're nonsensical, or at least you don't lack, or you're lacking common sense, you don't know how intelligent radio can be in this market. Yeah, and that's pretty much par for the course. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know, he had a great game, and he was really good from the very beginning with his fastball. I think it was the best fastball I've seen out of him in a while. I know he felt really good, and he was executing his pitches in and out. You know, four-seam fastball was a lot better today. I think his aggressiveness showed. He was able to flip in a couple breaking balls. Changeup was pretty good, especially to the hitters that we needed him to throw into. But he just had a little bit of everything where he was in total command of the game.
That's huge. Got us some insurance runs. Some guys put together some great at-bats. Stassi, big-time homer. And then Jake and Springer back-to-back ABs to just extend the inning. And kind of played a little past the torch and was fortunate enough to put a good swing on ball and gave us a good cushion.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The Usual Suspects on the day before the big storm, I guess.
Yeah.
Astros with a win. Nick Sciarra Sports providing you with fantastic content post-game once again from the Juice Box, which was first A.J. Hinch, then Alex Bregman, talking about what was a tight game for 7.5. And the bottom of the eighth inning, the Stros blow it open. Big blow being the Bregman ding-dong he was talking about, providing a nice little pad to allow Liriano to come in, get some work, and the Stros to get the W, setting up a huge rubber match between us today, tonight, on who will be right.
Who was winning the series?
Which is always
you or
such
me.
A big thing, yes.
Yeah. It was good to see Fires go 7 strong, give up 1. Still not, you know, I still don't want him in that rotation. You can't have somebody this inconsistent, as up and down as he is, and count on them in the playoffs, because you don't know which Mike Fiers is going to go out there. So while it's great to see and it helps, and he's 8-8 now, and he's got his ERA around 4.41, 4.42, something like that. That's great.
Right.
Get us through the regular season, Mike Fiers. Yay. And then, okay. Because he's just.
I'm with you. I don't want him to start, but I liked the fact that, you know, because they did a graphic last night during the game. His last 8 starts was like his first 8 starts. He's been awful until last night. But the 8 previous to that, he was up for pitcher of the month, and he was not giving up home runs, and he was, well.
But that's my point.
Yeah,
he's so inconsistent, you don't know what you're going to get from.
We can't take that chance as we're getting to where we're getting. So I totally agree with that.
I mean, I was looking at his player card on ESPN last night while he's pitching. Here's his ERAs by month: 5.12, 4.86, 2.32, 2.89, 5.97. That's a guy that just is out there. He's, you know, sometimes he looks like a Mike Fiers game. It's just he's all over the place. You know what I mean? This month he's at a 6 ERA. That's including going 7 innings and giving up 1 earned run last night.
What I loved last night was only 1 walk.
Yeah.
So he didn't, you know,
no home runs.
No
I
home
like
runs
better.
And only 1 walk. Blummer was even, that was the one stat he was watching was the home runs. But I was really, his control was better because only giving up 1 walk in 7 innings was fantastic.
Well, in the month of August, he had given up two home runs for each of his outings.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. I mean, this is, again, if you go back to ERA, look at his home runs per month starting in April. 8-10-0-4-8. He's just this weird. It's just a weird thing. It's one of those things where you look at a guy like Peacock. He's been pretty consistent all year. Morton has been pretty consistent all year. At least you know, all right, this guy's going to go out and go five innings and give up four earned runs or three earned runs or whatever. You don't know what which fires you're getting. So, and Bregman right. coming up big, you know, this offense you hope can get it rolling, man.
Well, and he's been stroking the ball. I said since July 4th, he's hitting well over 300. He's putting up big-time numbers and, again, does it last night when they need him to. He's putting good swings on the ball. So that's a very, very good sign for this team. And again, you allow your bullpen to rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key guys that needed the rest right now are getting it, at least starting to get it, which helps. So you hope that Keuchel puts three in a row together tonight. Big matchup because Strasburg, we all know, can
Strasburg,
bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great matchup for that game. Should be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. What happens to their schedule? I need to pull up their schedule. Are they on the road?
They just go on the road this weekend to Anaheim. Okay. They play the Angels in the Players Weekend Extravaganza.
Okay, well, good for them for getting out of town then, because that Minute Maid would be.
That's a good call.
Yeah, Minute Maid. I don't even know if it's going to be accessible,
but
with all the weather,
they come back to start next week with the Rangers.
But it'll be after the storms are gone.
Ah. Storms
so they're could, only going on the road
they said
for one
the storms
series?
Could, yeah, it's weird. They said the storms could hover and last through Wednesday.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's weird. If you have a series, a road trip that's only one series?
Isn't that weird?
Surely they wouldn't do that.
I don't know why you bring Shirley right into now. This, but from a factual standpoint.
That's dumb. So they fly to Anaheim, they play three games, and then they come back home and play the Rangers.
Correct.
Way to go, Major League Baseball, you idiots.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they'll be playing four games in 5 days. Oh, that's NBA.
Can I tell you what I did, which was stupid? I get on Nick all the time about fantasy baseball.
Yeah. Oh, I saw you post this.
I'm such a dumbass. You guys didn't know that.
You just forgot to adjust your roster or something?
Yeah. Guess who I forgot to put in?
What?
Just the guy that went Rich nine Hill. Innings of no-hit baseball, Rich Hill. Just got him sitting there on the bench. Just not, which I need pitching help so bad. So I'm like, oh, Rich Hill's pitching a no-no. And then I was like, oh. I didn't set my lineups today. I hope he was not on the bench. And yep, on the bench with another guy who went, you know, five innings. He only gave up one Ernie. So I was like, all right, I'm a dumbass. I need to stop making fun of Nick about baseball. I have failed myself miserably.
It's a daily grind, man. Take it from the expert.
But how about that though?
Unbelievable last night, and thank God for MLB Network because I was able to watch it when. The Astros announcer started talking about it, but if you missed it or you were just so engaged
so
in the
MLB,
local nine.
Oh, it was on like their red zone, strike zone thing or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so because
I was
sitting there.
You had the baseball package. I was like, what?
No,
really?
My
I
connections
love baseball,
were deep, but not that deep.
Okay.
But they, you know, Blummer was talking about it. I'm like, how's he watching it? So I flipped over to the MLB Network, and I'm like, oh my God, there it is. If you missed it, Rich Hill of the Dodgers, as Barry said, had a perfect game through eight. His third baseman made an error in the ninth, but had a no-no going into the 10th. And then this happened.
I don't see how Hill could...
Drive to left.
Come on,
toward
baby.
Toward the wall.
Come on, baby.
And raise it. Raise the Jolly Roger. No-hitter gone. Josh Harrison homers. 1-0 in a classic.
Classic.
That was your ball game.
Raise the Jolly Roger. What? Are we doing that? They're raising the Jolly Roger? That sounds.
Was that the Pirates TV network or radio network?
That was television.
Television.
That sounds kinky. That sounds like something you would say to.
I knew he was going to react this way.
She's really raising my Jolly Roger. You
That's
know
why
what
I really
mean?
Wanted to play this.
Like, that sounds freaky. It's like, what'd you do last night? Well, the wife put on a hook. And raised my Jolly Roger. What? Like, yep, the feeling of cold steel pressed against a man's flesh. What?
Sure. The chick is, your chick is in the bedroom ready to go, and you come in, aye, matey, time to raise the Jolly Roger.
Yeah, that's going to go well. Fire the cannons like the Buccaneers. How come like
or
they?
Pew, pew. Yeah.
That's how it goes in my house. But I like how they'll they have like raise the Jolly Roger, And then, like, the Cubs have waved the W, right?
Right.
How come the Astros don't have them? We should be like, you know, like squeeze the orange or something. There's nothing for the Astros.
Launch the rocket. No.
Oh, that's the Rockets.
Okay, so we need something space related, though.
Is this space related or is it
Astros?
Orange juice? It's Minute Maid. It's orange juice.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not PNCing anything in Pittsburgh. You're talking
about true.
The Pirates.
Maybe they should just play Fly Me to the Moon after a win. I don't know. I don't know what they could do. But see, that's the thing. We don't have anything like that.
Something you can do. Maybe you could blast the train off. I don't know, because that thing's kind of annoying.
That is weird. But that's dude, you talk about horrible luck.
Yeah.
Not really luck, because, I mean, he goes 9, but we need to talk about that. Is that a no-no
coming back,
or not?
We got to talk about the no-no. We got to talk about how Hill handled it, how the broadcasters were setting it up for, like, you know, he's going to be okay. And every video as he walked off the mound was he went off the mound straight through the tunnel because he
was,
man, that was tough.
Yeah. All right, guys. I want to tell you about my favorite place to eat in the city of Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. They're located in 1901 Taft in Midtown. You need to get out there if you haven't gone out there and tried their food yet. I've been talking about them for a while, and I can't stop bragging on what Haas and crew out there are doing at Cowboys and Indians. The food is absolutely outstanding. I've gone out there several times, and every time I've gone, I've tried something new. I've taken friends with me. Nick is gone. Joel is gone. And we tell you the same thing every time. It's so good. And if you haven't gone, make it a trip. Go out there if you're not near there. When you're around the area in Midtown, go by Cowboys and Indians, have lunch, have dinner if you're out late at night. Check it out. The food's amazing. They've got the best butter chicken in Houston. One of all of our favorites is the non-quesadillas made with non-bread. Put the Himalayan Heat Burger on a must-try burger. All the food's delicious. All family recipes. All authentic Indian food. And I'll be real with you. I wasn't an Indian food fan. I had it one time with a friend of mine a long time ago, and I was done. That was like, ugh, that was gross. But I go out to Cowboys and Indians with Haas. He sits me down. He gives me that butter chicken. Outstanding. You're going to love this place. They've got a full-service bar. You can just grab a beer, watch the game if you want. And if you want some Indian food, or you want, you know, a fusion of Southern comfort and Indian food, but you don't want to leave the house, then you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. Again, 1901 Taft in Midtown. If you want more info, on Facebook, just search for CNI713. All the food's delicious. You need to go try it. And then once you go try it and it's so good, hit me up on Twitter and let me know how you liked it. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Go, go.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, in our constant, never-ending effort to give you the best in both sports and entertainment, but also give you knowledge where we can get it, we have that in mind as we bring in our next guest. Jerry Palm of CBS is coming in. You can follow him at JPPalmCBS and get all the information you will ever want, need, or maybe just because you're curious, you want to know about college football, you can dabble in some college basketball. There's lots to be had if you follow Mr. Palm. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Barry and Joel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good.
Are you happy now that this long hiatus is over and we're finally on the cusp of seeing some real college football?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing actual games get played. I'm a little confused as to why we have so many games this weekend when the season really starts next weekend. I mean, I understand the Australia game being a week early because that's a crazy trip, but I don't know why we have other games being played, but still I think there's some interesting games this week, and of course, anytime you're playing in Australia, I mean that's fun. I don't know how good of a game that's going to be, but I think we could have some fun this weekend.
We were talking. It is rice though, and in our backyard, so believe me, don't expect too much.
Hey, Hey, Jerry, we were talking yesterday about conferences, and Joel and I had a running feud last year about conference power and who was the best conference, and you know, SEC, Big Ten, ACC. And we were talking, there was some ranking that came out somewhere we saw where they had the ACC as the number one conference in the nation. Agree or disagree? And if disagree, who would you have, or who do you think is the best conference out there?
I would say last year that's probably fair. You know, that's a year-to-year thing. Nobody's the best conference yet this year. Nobody's done anything yet. The SEC might be poised to go back on top. ACC could have another good year. Big Ten could have another good year. We'll see what happens out of the Pac-12, but there's certainly some strong teams out there as well. So I don't think it's clear right now who the best conference is going in to this season, but the SEC is going to be strong at the top. The ACC figures to be strong at the top, and the Big Ten figures to be strong at the top, and they've all shown well in the preseason polls.
Big matchup, Alabama-Florida State coming. We had the question, too, that Barry and I were kicking around. When's the last time you had that big of a powerhouse game to kick off a season?
Never.
Okay, that answers that pretty quickly. Yeah, and
this is easily the best week one matchup, just in terms of the rankings of the teams. Ever. There's never been, I think there was an Ohio State Texas game that was week two that was pretty similar, but week one, no, nothing like this. That's great for college football to have, you know, these two teams playing each other week one. And, you know, it's in the BCS era. If the loser of this game probably would have been out of championship consideration. Now, I think the loser of this game not only can still make the playoff, I think the loser of this game actually will make the playoff.
Yeah, it's a great point because I was looking at your article about the bowl games, and you have Alabama, Florida State as in the Sugar Bowl.
Correct.
Yeah. So you still think? I mean, because we've talked about the fact that it could be a loss early on for Alabama, a potential loss that they could recover from. But it seems like you think Florida State is the same way there.
Yeah, I think that either one of those teams, because of the strength of their league and their schedules, they still have an opportunity. Now, for the loser, though, the problem is your margin for error is pretty much gone. You probably have to win out. Mm-hmm. 11-2 may not get you in a playoff. But 12-1, you know, I think can still get you in a playoff. And both of these teams are favored in their conferences, which is why I think it's possible for them to lose a quality non-conference game and still have a legitimate chance to make the playoff. No, Florida State's going to have other tough games. They've got to play Florida still. I know they got to go to Clemson. They got Louisville in their league. You know, it's not over for Florida State by a long shot. If they lose this game, it puts a lot more pressure on those.
But speaking of Florida State, are they the real deal? Because we've heard and people have talked in detail about their defensive line. Sean Salisbury, our own guy right here down the hallway, making note of the fact that their quarterback might be pound for pound the toughest guy in college football coming into this season because of his performance last season. But it seems like they are top to bottom primed for a run regardless of what happens in this opener.
Yeah, I agree. I like their quarterback. I thought he played well last year as a freshman. I think a year older and smarter. Now he's going to have new guys around him. So, you know, Florida State's offense has got some adjustments to make. But their defense is going to be solid. They always are solid. They get the All-American candidate Derwin James back, who got hurt early last season, missed all of last year, or missed most of last year. They get him back in the secondary this year. I think Florida State is going to be really tough to beat. Like I said, they do have to go to Clemson in conference play. And Clemson is still going to be good. I mean, they lose a lot. I mean, you lose a guy like Deshaun Watson, you're losing a lot. But they lost other guys that were high quality also. But Clemson's still going to be pretty good, and that's going to be a tough road trip.
Going back real quick to that article that I referenced earlier where you had Alabama, Florida State in the Sugar Bowl. You also had Ohio State, USC in the Rose Bowl. But I noticed you didn't pick a winner of those two to go on to the national championship.
Alabama's my champion.
Okay. So give me a team. So you basically have Alabama, Ohio State, USC, and Florida State as the top four making the bowl games, making the playoffs. Give me a team that's going to surprise some folks that if one of those teams doesn't make it that you think will.
Oklahoma State. I like them to win the Big 12. I don't know if they can go undefeated, and they probably would have to make the playoff. And by the way, I don't think an undefeated Big 12 team would get left out of the playoff unless there were five undefeated major conference teams, which we've never seen. But I like Oklahoma State. I like Wisconsin. I wouldn't rule out Washington getting back in. Florida is going to be better. In fact, the Florida-Georgia game is probably going to decide that division, and whoever wins that game could surprise in the SEC. And then I think Auburn has a shot with Stidham at quarterback, and finally having that position settled, I think could do great things for Auburn.
Speaking of quarterbacks, can you talk a little bit about the fact that we know Deshaun Watson's here in Houston, but a lot of people very high on Clemson, even with the guys that they lost, including Watson and Boulware and guys like that. And then also you mentioned Florida, but I'm hearing rumors that they still can't make up their mind on who's going to be their signal caller.
Yeah. Eventually they have to settle on somebody, right?
I mean, right.
Remember that year that Auburn played about three guys at quarterback for the first, month or so of the season and never really got off the ground for him. Florida's going to have to settle on somebody. Florida's going to have to keep guys off the police blotter too, because pretty soon they're going to suspend so many guys for Michigan that they're going to have to play the marching band. I think if Florida, whoever they end up playing back there is going to be good enough. I think the guys around the quarterback is going to be good enough to give Florida a chance to contend, certainly in their division in the SEC.
And Clemson's okay without Watson.
Yeah, well, Clemson, I mean, Dabo's done a great job of recruiting behind the guys that left. I mean, he's built a program there. He's got a program where, it's kind of like Alabama, it's kind of like Ohio State and other great programs. The guys that are going to play this year just haven't had their chance yet, but they were good players. They were highly regarded recruits, and we're going to see some of that. I think replacing Deshaun Watson is going to be the hardest because of his experience at that position. You just don't replace that right away. But they're going to have somebody out there who's talented. And how fast, that person is able to, get used to college football at that level is going to probably determine just how good a season Clemson has. But Clemson could be back in the playoffs. They're going to be good enough to contend for that.
That's good stuff. Hey, you guys, if you want to do yourself a favor, especially if you're a big college football fan like we are, follow Jerry Palm of CBS at JP Palm CBS. We appreciate you spending some time with us, Jerry. Enjoy the season. We look forward to catching up with you a couple times.
All right, thanks.
Jerry Palm right there on the HRNP listener line with some good insight into the college football season as we get ready to literally kick things off this weekend in the NC2A.
Yay. Okay. I'm like, I usually don't get this way. I'm ready for football. I think I'm ready for real football.
Legit last night. I'm watching the Stros game. Yeah, it was a good game. But, I was kind of like, I normally surf a little bit, especially during commercials. And I dialed into NFL Network and watching pro games because I knew at least week three I was going to see some competitive football. And I was jacked up for it. I was actually enjoying it because, because it's week three and that you're going to have a lot of starters and a lot of real players playing. I was like, okay, I've definitely got to get some football in my system quickly because it's been way too long. All right, so we got football on the horizon. We've got the Astros tonight in the rubber match with the Nationals. Strasburg against Dallas Keuchel. And plenty more to talk about. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, rolling on in hour number one. Got a little Astros, a little college football. Talking baseball as we want to kind of double back and talk about that no-hitter last night again. Rich Hill taking a no-no and had a perfect game through eight, a no-no through nine. Loses it with a walk-off home run in the 10th. Harrison's home run being the first time in Major League history that a no-no was broken up with a walk-off. So they informed him of that he will be in history in the lores forever.
Where do you stand, both of you, on calling it a no-hitter? Because he gave up a hit, but it was in the 10th inning. And I know you did some research.
I did a little research.
By the rules, according to Major League Baseball, a no-hitter is if you go full nine innings and don't give up a hit.
If a pitcher or pitchers.
Okay, yeah, well.
Get at least, because we know the Astros did it a couple years ago at Yankee Stadium.
Six-pitcher no-hitter. Yeah.
That
doesn't count to me, by the way.
And I don't like the multiple pitcher thing. But if in my mind, to take their definition a little bit further, but they said since 1991 when they actually decided to make some kind of a ruling on this, but their idea of a no-hitter is going at least nine innings, or at least completing nine innings without giving up a hit.
And how often does this happen where a pitcher goes nine innings?
It hasn't happened that often in the history of baseball because, Barry, because we do our due diligence, because we try and provide to you, the people, the listeners, and you, Nick, when necessary, which isn't as often. It hasn't happened very often in the history of baseball. Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pedro went into the 10th inning. So he went nine innings of no-hit baseball against the Padres, and I think in 93 or 95.
It was 95.
Yeah. And first batter he faces in the 10th inning, he gives up a hit. He gets pulled, and I think it was Rojas comes in and gets a save. So he had to bail him out. So he goes nine innings with no hits, gives up a hit in the 10th. So technically he went nine plus because he never got an out in the 10th inning.
Right.
So is that a no-no? Because he goes nine innings.
I mean,
he pitches into the 10th.
Last night's game, same thing, because he didn't get an out in the 10th. First batter he faces in the 10th is Harrison, so his line score will state nine innings.
Does it? Oh, see, I didn't even realize
giving
that.
Giving up a hit.
I didn't know if he had gotten an out or not in that 10th inning.
No, he did not.
So he didn't get an out? See, that's definitely not a no-hitter to me. I mean,
I think that
to me,
factors in.
It's the same, though, so you have to go nine innings for it to be called a no-hitter. But if you give up a hit, if you keep pitching, then you didn't have a no-hitter. I don't think that should count. Like, you gave up a hit. Hill gave up a hit, a game-winning hit at that. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be a no-hitter. I don't know. I mean, do you disagree, agree? I don't know.
I think any time a pitcher records 27 outs without giving up a hit, to me, you've thrown a full game no-hitter. But I see your point completely about the fact that he doesn't come out.
Because his box score, you're right, nine innings.
Yep.
One hit, one earned run.
Yep.
How is that a no-hitter?
Because of the fact that he didn't get out in the 10th, it factors in, I think, in my mind. If he had gotten it out in the 10th, then I think, especially under what we read under stipulations for baseball, he should have had a no-hitter. He should be accredited with a no-hitter for nine innings.
All right, let me go super nerdy deep on you on this.
No.
What? It's not an inning until you get the three outs, right?
Not an inning. Inning.
A complete inning?
It's not an inning.
But
an inning isn't done until you as a pitcher haven't pitched an inning until you got the three outs. If you get one out, hold on. If you get one out, then you get 0.1 innings. So if he would have gotten an out before he gave up the home run, his line score would show 9.1 innings.
Yep, I agree.
He didn't get an out in the 10th inning. Ergo, he did not pitch a 10th inning. So he pitched nine innings. His box score, his line score says 9.0. He gave up a hit. Shouldn't be a no-hitter.
I said that. I tend to agree with you because of the fact that because of the way the line score reads, it's hard for me to state that was a complete, though we know it was, the line score is going to tell you it says nine innings with a hit given up.
Well, I mean, yeah, because technically, if you didn't get the out, then you didn't pitch a 10th inning. You pitched into the 10th inning, but you didn't pitch a 10th inning.
Right.
So is everyone out there, I mean, I haven't seen the official, is it being called a no-hitter?
I have
no-hitter?
Not seen anything official.
Okay.
As I'd be to curious, whether it was or wasn't.
Yeah, I'd be curious if they're actually calling this a no-hitter or if they're just saying he had a no-hitter and then he choked it away like
so,
a dummy.
Because we were a little nerdish in our pre-production meeting today because of this topic, it was June 3rd, 1995 that Pedro took the no-no into the 10th.
Okay.
It was a perfect game, by the way.
Yep.
Not just a no-no. And I felt bad for Hill because he literally should have had a perfect game going into the 10th. But a tough hop on an error on his third baseman cost him that when he took last night's game into the 10th. But how about this one for crazy stat of the day in terms of how long you can go perfect? 1959. Harvey Haddix of the Pirates, 12 perfect innings against the Milwaukee Braves. loses the game on a two-run double in the 13th. First time a pitcher threw more than nine perfect innings in Major League history. Obviously, Pedro then does it in 95. But in 1959, and here's the crazy thing, the game was scoreless because on the other side for the Milwaukee Braves, Lou Burdette went 12 innings scoreless, but he allowed 12 hits and two walks going up against a perfect game, but he got the win.
That's nuts.
Isn't it?
12 hits, two walks, you get the win against a perfect game.
Against a perfect game.
My goodness. That's what's crazy about baseball is you get those weird ass, you know, awkward, quirky games or things that happen that and it's always something new. It's like you would think, and how long has this game been around? Since the late 1800s?
Yeah.
You would think that everything has happened. But no, there's still things that happen today that's like, that's never happened in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, some of the stuff that they can come up with.
You want something else crazy about that game? So here's just some of the bullet points. Haddix took the mound in the 13th inning after retiring 36 Milwaukee Braves in a row. Nine more than usual for a perfect game, obviously, with 27. Fleet-footed second baseman Felix Mantilla came to bat first for Milwaukee, hit a grounder to Pirate third baseman Don Hoke, threw the ball across the diamond and into the dirt near first base. He was safe. The perfect game was over, though the no-hitter remained intact because they ruled it an error. The very next batter, Hall of Famer Eddie Mathews, sacrificed Mantilla to second base. Then Henry Aaron, who was leading the NL in batting, came to the plate and they walked him. Joe Adcock was up next. He hit a drive. It just cleared the fence for the home run in right center field, or so they thought. In the jubilation over the win, the Braves became muddled on the base paths, and Adcock passed Henry Aaron. Therefore, they re-ruled it a double instead of a home run.
Ouch.
Talk about a bunch of crap going on in that game.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, that sucks.
So he hits a home run. He gets a double. And in the process, a perfect game and a no-hitter get blown in the 13th.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's why I like baseball, though. There's all that weird stuff happens. Somebody said the pitcher can't control, this is on text, the pitcher can't control the offense. They failed him. He threw a no-hitter through nine innings. Not his fault. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's the Dodgers. You gotta put some runs up. And somebody corrected me and said it's 9.33, not 9.1. Well, look at a box score. They don't put 9.33.
They do. They put 9.1. You're right.
They put 9.1 because that's one out, two outs, three outs. If it's three outs, then they just put 10. So it's either 9.1, 9.2, or 10.
Yep.
I'm just going by the box score, sirs.
We've got a couple listeners here on the text line. Antonio and Kelsey listening out in Channelview. They listen to the program a lot, and we appreciate you listening.
For sure. Yeah, somebody else. You get 0.3 innings for one out, genius. Yeah, but that's not how it reads in the box score, jeez, genius.
Why do we have to be
have
so
have you guys
angry?
Ever picked up a paper or looked at ESPN at a box score? Right. They don't put 9.33333 with a bar over it. They put 9.1.
Well, when I was looking at box scores in that my paper goodness. This morning,
yeah,
paging through my newspaper.
We have some people chiming in about the floods, too.
Okay.
Somebody said flood insurance cost me $300 a year, so worth it. That's what mine cost.
That sounds reasonable.
Mine was about $300 for a year. Now, I say that to read the next text that says, I live in Bridge City, and I pay $2,400 a year just for flood insurance. Now, you're talking about not being able to afford flood insurance. $2,400 a year.
That's a lot.
Flood my house.
You can have it. I'll go get a third-story apartment.
I'm guessing that's an area that just floods all the time, and that's why it's that high?
I would guess so, yeah. Like, they're in the, you know, there's the 100-year floodplain.
They're probably in Meyerland.
They're probably in, like, the one-year floodplain. There's the 100 and the 500. They're in the one. I don't even know if that exists.
What's that poor apartment complex?
They built their house in a river.
And I don't mean, the last time, even the Memorial Day floods, out there towards, what's the mall, right on 45?
Golfgate?
No, Greens Point. Right past Greens Point, that one apartment complex that was like completely underwater.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where you got to be to have flood insurance that's that expensive.
I mean,
that's crazy.
Chris said, I have a 20,000 watt generator that runs my whole house. It's hooked up to my propane tank. Definitely worth it. I'm actually looking at getting one of those. We almost got one when we built the house, but now I'm thinking about getting one.
We had one, but.
Did you like it? I mean, did it kick in whenever you lost lights and stuff?
It was functional. I mean, we lost it in another freaking disaster, but yeah, it was really functional. I mean, it ran like two fridges. It ran a lot of appliances.
No problem is if your house floods, it's going to flood, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of people put those like what it, like it floats on top, like it could.
Oh, really?
Like a raft
or something, yeah, around it that kind of lifts it up in the event that it gets to that point.
That's pretty cool.
Some people do that.
How? Oh, that's weird. Okay. I got to look into that.
I suggest you just put it in your bathtub.
Sure. I could do that. With my toaster. You would love that, wouldn't you?
Plug it in. It'll be all right. All right. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the Big Show. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to discuss. If you want to chime in on the no-hitter, please do. Astros tonight, if you want to talk about that. Texans scrimmaging the Saints, if you want to get into that. Or anything else that might be on your mind. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. Hi.